Good morning.
I did not really come to Monarch intending to bring a thought. My name is Darren Gellenbeck. I'm from Central Kentucky. And I have something I feel like the Lord would like to share with us this morning. And I'd like to ask if we could sing the first verse of number 509, please. I'm going to write something on the board.
Stand by each other, brethren. Take courage, be faithful and true.
Well, I appreciate that song. just a little bit of history about that song. My mom wrote that song quite a few years ago, I believe, and what she told me about it was that she had been in a meeting somewhere, and there was some disagreement between, I don't know everything about it, but she just said there had been some disagreement, and it saddened her greatly, and so she went back somewhere, and the Lord inspired her with those words, and it's been a huge blessing in my life to have what she wrote there with the inspiration of the Lord. So, pardon my bad handwriting up there, but I wrote love the brotherhood on the board. And so you can probably tell by now that I have a message that has to do with our relationships with one another. Does the Lord care about our relationships with one another? I believe He cares very, very much. What did Jesus say that people were going to know His disciples by? The love that they have toward one another. He didn't say everybody's going to know. He did say that you're going to work some works and things like that. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, if I have all knowledge and I have all faith and whatever, all he said there, and I don't have love or charity, nothing. It's not profiting me anything. So I want to turn to the book of Genesis, and I want to tell you, this is not my first time, but I am new at this, and a lot of times I tell the Lord, Lord, this is going to be a train wreck if you don't help me, and I'm going to tell the Lord that again. I need your prayers, and I need the Lord's help to bring out, I really believe the Lord has something to share with us this morning, and it's not just for you, it's for me. All right. So in Genesis chapter 13, I want to read some verses here, and I appreciate your prayers. Genesis 13, seemed like the Lord's been starting a lot of the thoughts He's given me with Abraham. And here's another one. So Abraham, he wasn't called Abraham at this time. He was Abram. He had been called out of his own country. And he was called from a lot of peers that could have been peers. And I think we heard about that maybe last night. I can't remember. But he brought his nephew with him. And I don't know about you, but you can look at a relationship between an uncle and a nephew. And you always know usually who is the one that has the preeminence. Most of the time, I mean, there's some cases where the nephew happens to be older than the uncle, and then that's kind of interesting, but that's not what the case was here, I don't believe. Abram, out of the kindness of his heart and out of his duty, brought his nephew and was trying to raise him because his brother had passed away. So here he's got his nephew with him. And they went and they did some things and they gained some possessions. And they started to gain quite a bit. And the Lord blessed them. So in the 13th chapter, and in the second verse, in the first verse actually, in Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And so he went on his journeys from the south, even from Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also went with Abram, and had flocks, and herds, and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Listen to what he told Lot here, and remember, Abram's got really, by rights, Abram had the preeminence in this relationship, right? He said, Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. And before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one from the other. You see what happened? I find it very interesting. Abram had every right to say, Look, this is not working. There's not enough room in this land for the both of us, so you need to go find your own place. That's kind of what happens in the animal kingdom a little bit. In the lion kingdom, lions have a territory, and whoever's the strongest gets to rule it, and whoever's not as strong gets booted out. Abram had every right to do that here. And he could have said to Lot, have a nice one. I'm staying right here. This is the best land, and whenever you get a little older, you can have it too, but right now I'm taking it. And that's not what he did. And look at what he said. He said, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. My message this morning is between brethren. I'm looking at that. He made a really bad business deal. We heard another message earlier about smart business moves. This was not a smart one in the world's eyes. But I believe in God's eyes, this was a very smart one. He gave up his rights. He gave up what looked like the good land in order to have a good relationship with his nephew. How much do we love the brotherhood? How much do I love my relationship with another person? Do I have this kind of, I'm asking myself this too, Lord help me, do I have this kind of desire where I'm willing to go further just to maintain a good relationship so that there's no strife? And I want to tell you, at least in my experience, that is not a natural human characteristic. Humans, I've got young children. I don't have a whole lot of experience, but I know this. They don't naturally share their toys. Never, hardly ever do. And I drill it and drill it and drill it, and I'm still drilling it into them. It's not a natural trait. What's natural is, that's mine, you can't touch it, and we're going to fight about it. That's what's natural. And that would have been natural here if Abram hadn't have gotten a hold of something else. So I want to go to another scripture. You pray for me this morning. And we're probably going to come back to this scripture, but 1 Peter 1 and 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You know what unfeigned means? It means not fake, real, not putting it on. Unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently. Folks, I'm challenged this morning. This is not natural. I'm going to say that again. This is not a natural thing. You know, this says the love of the brethren. There's another scripture that I'd like to get here. Maybe that was... Yeah, let's go to Romans 12 and 9. We may bounce back to some of these. I'm not sure. Romans 12 and verse 9, it says basically the same thing. Let love be without dissimulation. Let love, dissimulation, I believe it means to be fake and to pretend like something. Let love be real. Abhor, and here's a really good guideline, and we'll probably come back to this. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. But in the next verse it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. We're talking about, and in one of those words there really has the meaning of family ties. Being in a family, I believe it's the word kindly affection, if I'm not mistaken. It points to the ties that is naturally in brethren. So I've got a brother and a sister. You know, there's something there. Brothers and sisters don't always get along. But I want to tell you this. I think it hurts worse if one of them hurts me than if somebody else hurts me. And I have a natural, great desire to have a good relationship with my brother and sister. And I thank the Lord because I believe that our relationships are better now than they've been a long time ago. And I have a good relationship with my family. I realize that's not always the case, but there's something there. I want to be in unity because they're my family. They're the people that I grew up with. I spent years with them. They know a lot of my problems. They know a lot of the things that I've been weak in areas. I used to be a brat to my sister, and she knows that. I used to, whatever, there's, I could tell you, but they know that. I've spent more time with them than probably most of the people in this room, and I want a good relationship there, my family. And I'll tell you, probably if I hear somebody saying something bad about them, there's something rises up in me to want to defend them because they're my family. I don't want you to say something bad about my brother or my sister. So it says, be kindly affectioned with one another, to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. 1 Samuel 12 and 23, this really stood out to me. Samuel was the leader of the children of Israel before they had a king. And he got to see them when things were going well, and he got to see them when they weren't going well. And he got to see them ask for a king, and he was disappointed about it, and he went to the Lord and prayed, and the Lord directed him, go ahead, give them what they're asking for. And so he did, and he came to the time, I believe this was, I can't remember exactly where this was in his time, but I guess it was when he was making Saul the king, but he talked to Israel. And he told him, I believe he told him, that they have done some wrong things. You ever look at your brethren and think that they've done something wrong? And what does it do to us? So in the 23rd verse here, in the 22nd verse, he said, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people." And listen to what he said. And remember, he's not very pleased with what they just did. And he said, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way." I don't know how it's been in your experience, but, and Lord help us that we be careful about judging. That's not really part of my thought this morning. But you ever see somebody do something and it's like, man, I wish they hadn't have done that. I don't really approve what they did. And that's exactly what happened here. And he knew they did wrong. He knew it, and the Lord had confirmed it. He knew what they were, that they'd asked for a king, and God said, "They haven't forsaken you, but they've forsaken me." He knew it wasn't something good. But he said, "God forbid," that's pretty strong, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord," that's also pretty strong, "in ceasing to pray for you." And this is kind of simple, but have you ever seen somebody do something, and it's like, well, okay, don't need to pray for them as hard. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I don't want to sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for my brethren. And we're not talking about in a, well, Lord, send fire and brimstone down. I believe you understand what I'm saying. I don't want to do that because you're my brethren. Because I want to be in unity with you. I don't want the enemy to be able to send something to divide us. You remember what happens to things that get divided? What does a lion do when he's trying to sneak up on a prey, on a group of animals? Doesn't he usually try to chase the one that got separated from the herd? I don't want to get separated from you. And I'll tell you another reason. Isn't there, I don't have it written down, but there's a lot. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians. I may be getting the scriptures mixed up, but it's somewhere it's talking about gifts. And it has something in there. It talks about the body of Christ. And it says something about the things that every joint supplieth. And it's talking about each of the members of the body of Christ. Every one of you, and we heard this already in the meeting, every one of you and me, by the grace of God, each one of us have something to supply to the body of Christ. And if it's lacking, if I shut that avenue off, what did I just do? You ever rent a Airbnb or something? I'm the travel planner between me and my wife, and I can put way too much thought into it, all right? And I can get stuck looking at the, okay, this one's got this amenity, and this one has this one, and this one is this far away from where we're wanting to go, and this one is this much, and I end up spending probably too much time doing it. But that's me, all right? I like the details. We look at amenities, usually, when we're going to book some sort of a rental. And we look at it, and it's like, okay, this one here, if I'm thinking of a vacation rental, this one's got a hot tub. This one's got three bunk beds in whatever. This one over here has, you know, a deck with a beautiful view of the mountains. Those are amenities. Those are things that can benefit me when I'm staying there. And, you know, each one of you have something that you can benefit me by, but it requires a unity for that to work. And if I shut the unity off and I start to say, well, it's not a big deal to have strife between us. If Abram would have said, it's not a big deal, he's just shutting off that avenue of relationship between him and his nephew. And it's so easy for me to want to do that. Sometimes something ruffles my feathers and I don't like it or I don't agree or whatever. Lord, help us to not shut off the avenue right there. Because whenever I start to shut that off, what am I doing? Imagine I went to the Airbnb and I say to the owner, I don't need the hot tub. You just turn it off. The room with bunk beds, you can shut the door. I don't need it. And we start to just shut off each one of the amenities What are we going to have left when we're done? I hope we have a bed. We can start to shut off each one of the amenities that each one of us provides, and we're going to be in bad shape when we do that. I don't want to do that with you. I'm too... Folks, I need you. I need you so bad. I need you probably to go to... Most of the time, you've got something to provide to me for me to be able to get to heaven. I know, yeah, we connect with the Lord, and it's not that we get some sort of a club going and we can get to heaven that way. But boy, there's sure some benefits whenever we connect with each other and we allow each other to supply things that we don't have. I don't have it all. In fact, I don't feel like I have a whole lot. I need you. I need your friendship. And you're my brethren, and you're my family. I've got to have you. So let's look at another verse here. Maybe we'll just jump at a few verses. Philippians 4 and 2. This one is... Sometimes I look at some of these short verses that people wrote, and it's really short, but a lot of times there's something really strong packed into that short verse. Philippians 4 and 2, it says... Paul's writing here, it says... I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. That's all he said about that, I believe. How do you do that? How do you... He's just like, you guys need to agree. He didn't just say agree. He said, I want you to get a hold of the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. And I beseech you to do this. I want to be of the same mind in the Lord with you. And we read a verse a minute ago that said, in Romans 12 and 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. It says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. This is a guideline for me. As I have this inner desire, and I want to stress that I have this inner desire, as I have, like Abram, I don't want there to be any strife in there. I don't want there to be anything to separate me from my brethren. As I have that, here's a guideline for me, though. Because it's more than just, the world likes to preach tolerance, right? We tolerate this and tolerate this, and before long they don't... The only thing it seems like that a lot of times they don't tolerate is true Christianity. That's not what we're talking about. This says, let love be without hypocrisy... Abhor that which is evil. I'm not talking about us getting together and deciding that wrong is just fine. But I believe this is a good guideline for us as long as we have this inner desire. And there's another verse in the scripture somewhere that Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. It's making me do. I've got to be faithful to my brethren. I believe he was going to share the gospel, and he said, "The love of Christ. It's making me do this, and I want to have that constraint on my life today. And if we have that, then we can look at this and say, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That's a good guideline for us about, if you want to say, tolerance. There's supposed to be an abhorrence of evil. But there's also supposed to be an abhorrence of strife between the brethren. Let's go to another verse here. Please don't quit praying for me. Proverbs chapter 13. This one hits really close to home with me. It says, only by pride cometh contention. That's just the first part of the verse. It says, but with the well-advised is wisdom. I don't know how many... I'm married, and I venture to say that if you've been married for very long, you probably had some things that you didn't both agree on. And I've had that. And I thank the Lord for our good marriage. But I have had that experience. And you can come away from some of those. And there's not very many that I've come away from not feeling like that I should have done something a little better. That I had some pride or lifted up of my own opinion. And that will cause so many problems every single time. I don't want to have that. And it's so natural for me to have that. It's so natural for me to lift my own opinion way up here. And, everybody else must just be down here and we go into a discussion like that, you're not going to have unity, but instead you're going to have some strife. It says, only by pride cometh contention. Lord, help me. I don't want this in my life, folks, because I want unity with you because you're my family. all right. Let's go over to, there's a verse, and I'm not seeing it here, but it talks about, I know I've got it here. It talks about rejoicing with those that rejoice, weeping with those that weep. If somebody finds it, please let me know. But you know what? I think I... I'm sorry, Romans 12. Romans 12 and 15. Let's just turn there. Thank you. We were already in this chapter a minute ago. Rejoice with those that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. I've had just a little bit of experience with just, I've had a little bit of interaction. Maybe I can say that. I haven't had all of it. With different cultures. And, you know, we have, I don't even know how many cultures here this morning. Each one of us has a culture. I've got a culture. You've got a culture. And I'll tell you, they're different. And some of them are very different. And the thing, one of the things that I've picked up about culture, and there's a lot more to it that I don't know, but people value things. Everybody values things. You value things. Maybe you value, well, okay, I'll tell you one thing my dad valued. This is just a kind of a funny thing, but on Sunday nights we'd go home and he liked to have quesadillas for supper. That was just, he valued it. That was part of his culture, maybe you could say. Each one of us value things, and cultures put higher value on some things rather than on other things. Some cultures, I've been some places, and it's very valuable to be punctual. That's very highly valued. It's a good value, and I believe I need more of that. I've been other places, and that's not as highly valued, but then there are other things. Maybe taking a break in some point in the day, maybe that's really highly valued. And then there's other places, cleanliness is very highly valued. Other places, there are other things that are highly valued instead. You understand what I'm saying? All across the board, we have high values. What does it mean whenever you weep about something? Do you weep? Do you cry about things that weren't valuable to you? Not usually. Maybe you do if you're, I don't know, but usually if you cry about something, it was valuable to you and you miss it. And this says, weep with them that weep. I can go to, with my culture, and go to yours, go to you, whoever you are, across the country or across the world, and I can go to you with my set of values. And if I go to you and assume that your set of values are exactly the same as mine, there's going to be some non-unity right there. Because I need to learn to weep with those that weep. I need to learn to figure out how to value, how to recognize what you value. And it's so important. And it says to rejoice with those that rejoice. And I believe Paul, he said, I've been made all things to all people. To the weak I became as weak, to the whatever. He learned how to do some of this. And that is, I believe, imperative for unity with the brethren. I want to learn what you value. I want to learn what you don't value. I want to learn what makes you irritated. And I want to learn what makes you happy. And I want to try to incorporate that into our relationship somehow. And I've found that it has helped there to be unity, for that to happen. So he said to do that. Well, let's go to another verse. in Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27 and 17, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Same kind of thing we were just talking about, because whenever something sharpens something, there's friction there, right? There's two opposing things coming together, and something happens. And when it happens with friends, I believe it can be a good thing whenever it happens with two people that are wanting unity. To be sharpened, I don't want to read too much into this, but just think about this. You ever tried to cut something with a dull knife? A lot of times you can end up damaging whatever it is that you're cutting, and then you can't use it, and you got to cut it again. I want my dealings with people to be sharp in that way. Not sharp in a sharp, you understand what I'm saying? I want it to be effective. And that requires some sharpening. And that requires me to be sharpened. But it says iron sharpeneth iron. Now, the scripture says we're all one in Christ Jesus, right? And I don't believe in there that it teaches that there are any of us that are, you know, real high and some that are really low. But there's an equality in the scripture that I understand. Iron and iron are two of the same pieces. And when they come together, there's friction and probably something's going to wear. I just want to put this thought in your head. If you have to sharpen me, or if I have to sharpen you, I sure hope that you're sharpened as well. If something that I say has to sharpen you, I hope it costs me a little bit. I hope I have to say, Lord, is that something that is needful for me to say? Is this, Lord, help me? And I draw closer to the Lord a little bit there, see? Iron sharpeneth iron. It's not just a one-way street. It's not just that I'm coming to somebody and, well, I just told them off. I don't want it to be like that. And first of all, we've got to have this inert desire of, I don't want there to be strife with me and my brethren, because I don't want to shut off the communication between me and my brethren, because I need what you have to provide to me. And I care about your soul. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want me to go to heaven. Lord, help us. I want you to sharpen me. But I hope it's not a one-way transaction. Proverbs 27. It says, Proverbs 27, verse 6, says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." We're talking about wounds. Are we talking about... We're not just talking about something that everything's always, you know, hunky-dory and everything is always so happy. This says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Have you ever been wounded by your friend? A while back, there was a situation and my wife said, I talked to her about the situation. And I was like, man, I don't know what to do about this and this and this. And she's like, I really think you need to just give that up or whatever. And at first I was like, wait a minute, I thought I already did that. And then I realized she was right. You could say she wounded me, but in a very good way, because it caused me to draw closer to the Lord and fix a problem that I had in myself. Folks, with all the other things that we've said, I need your wounds. Yes. But I sure hope they sharpen you as well. And I sure hope they come to me with the same love and desire to not have strife that we're talking about. And if I ever wound you, Lord, help it to be with what we're talking about this morning. I don't ever want to wound you with anything but love. And I hope I don't have to wound you at all. But I need your wounds. I need your wounds to go to heaven. I need to know. There's so much I don't know. I need your advice. I need your counsel. But let it be with the same love and aversion to strife that we're talking about. Scripture talks about in a marriage. I don't have a whole lot to comment about this, but I'll just read the verse here. 1 Peter 3 and 7, it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And then what's it say? That your prayers be not hindered. Do you think that us being not in unity will hinder something between us and the Lord? Jesus talked something about that whenever he was talking about whenever somebody's bringing something to the altar, didn't he? I'll just read that too, and I don't have a ton to comment about this either. But in Matthew 5, 21, it says, "Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca," or I believe it means worthless one, "shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar," if I understand this correctly, if you come to offer something to the Lord, "and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift there before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." I believe the Lord is very interested in us being united today. It really is going to hinder something if we're not. And I don't want to be the hindrance. I don't want to be the hindrance to the Spirit of the Lord blessing our services. I don't want to be the hindrance to the Lord speaking to me in my daily life. And I believe a lack of unity and a lack of love toward my brethren will do that. Lord, help us to be in unity. John 13 and 34. Jesus speaking. And he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And how did he love us? He laid down everything he had for us. And he put us, well, he washed the disciples' feet. He got down lower than they were in order so that we can be blessed. I don't know how he did that. And Lord, help us, because without the grace of God, we can't do that either. But who is love? God is love. If I have trouble with being in unity with my brother, if I have trouble loving somebody, I want to tell you the only person that can fix that is the Lord. But he can fix that. I'm a witness to that. I want to tell you a story. I had a man one time that maybe some of you have heard this story. There was a man that I worked with. I had to work with. And nobody else on the job cared to work with him. And it was somewhere else in another place and nobody knows him. But it was difficult to work with him. He wasn't the most lovable person. And I'll tell you, I didn't want to work with him either. And I had these attitudes coming inside me of, I don't want to be with him. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to have this situation. And there wasn't this kind of love there, right? And I want to tell you what the Lord did. The Lord completely changed my attitude towards that man. And it wasn't me, because I tried and it didn't work. And I want to tell you, by the grace of God, the Lord changed my mind completely about that man. And to this day, I have a relationship with him. And he didn't change. I changed. The Lord changed Darren. And Darren couldn't do it by himself. But the God of love, that is love, got a hold of Darren's heart and changed him. And that's the only one that's going to be able to change us if we need love for each other. But I want to tell you, he will do it if we'll come to him. I know he will. And that's not the only time the Lord has done that for me. And I'm so thankful. I'd be in a really bad spot if it wasn't for the Lord. So he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Philippians, I believe. No, it's in Galatians, I'm sorry. In Galatians chapter 4. In Maybe it's chapter 6. Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is part of unity this morning. To be able, and there's another verse that says, ye then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of them that are weak. We've got some responsibility this morning toward each other. I have a debt to you. I'm indebted to every single one of you. Today we have a mentality of a society of people that feel like that everything should just come to them. How many billboards do you see of, you deserve such and such? You know what I deserve? To be in debt to you the rest of my life. That is my portion, and that's where it's at today. I'm indebted to each one of you. I want to do my best to pay the debt. Let's look at just a few more scriptures here. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Most of these are really familiar scriptures. But in Ecclesiastes 4, and verse 8, says there is, well, in verse 7, then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, and yet there is no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, and yea, it is sore travail. But it says two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to lift him up. That verse in Galatians we just read, the verse before it said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, who's supposed to help him? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. This says if a man fall and he's alone, there's nobody that can help him. But if I have tried, if we're in unity, I know that if I fall, I know there's folks here that are going to come to me. And they're going to help me up. I know it because I've experienced your love and I'm so grateful for it. I'm so thankful for the love of the saints today. Let's look at just a couple more verses here. I'm almost finished. Remember the promise to the children of Israel? When they would, if they would follow the Lord. Leviticus chapter 26 and 8, and verse 8, it says, and five of you shall chase 100. But now watch. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before the sword. We are so much stronger when we're united. Did you realize, do you see the jump in the ratio right there? Because it said five of you shall chase 100. Five is 1/25 of 100, right? Then it says, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. 100 times 25 is 2,500. We just jumped the ratio four times. Unity is something that will help defeat the enemy. Like we said before, if the enemy is able to get one of us off by ourselves, we can just expect a lot harder battles, and we can expect the enemy to fight us a lot harder because we don't have anybody to help us. There's nobody to help fight our battles. Saints, I depend upon you all to help me. And I want to be dependable to you to help you. I don't want to break this. I don't want there to be strife between us. And back to the verse that we said before, we're not talking about just making our actions right. I've heard Brother Marty one time said something about, he said he tried to act right. And he tried so hard to act right. That's not the kind of love that I'm talking about this morning. This says, in the verse we read earlier, it says, that's not the one that I wanted. Well, I'll read this one. Oh, here we go. 1 Peter 1 and 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. We're not putting something on. If that's all that I have, I need to go back to the God of love and say, Lord, I need some more. I need some more so that this is not something I'm just putting on. I want something deep inside me to constrain me that to help you. Did you see? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but did you see what happened yesterday evening? We had a brother that had some physical issues. And did you see what happened? And remember what song we were singing? We were singing the same song we started with. It was number 509. And did you see folks just gathered around him? Folks were praying for him. Folks helped him with, and the Lord blessed him, and I'm so thankful for that. That's what I want us to be like. When you have something that you have a need, I want to be there to help you. I want you to be able to call me and say, I need you to pray for me. I want to be in unity. But if we start cutting that off, it's like somebody that goes to a vacation home and says, well, you can just close all the doors because I'm just here to sleep in the bed. That's it. Folks, every person, every member of the body of Christ has something that I can be benefited by. And I want to open up every single one of those channels. I don't want any of them to be closed. I don't want to stop praying for you. I don't want to sin against the Lord and stop praying for you. I want there to be unity. And so, I want to read a little bit more of that song. In closing, it says, in verse 3, it says, Lord, give us true warmth and affection. When one falls, help us rescue his soul. He's not heavy. Why? He's my brother. Let us cry as we carry his load. And it says in verse 4, dear saints, let us vow to each other. I will help you. I will comfort and pray. I will stand by your side and defend you in this battle we're facing today. It says we need each other, brethren, for only love will carry us through. Let us stand by each other, brethren. Take courage. Be faithful and true. I need you so bad today. I've asked that you pray for me. I want more of this love in me. This is not a natural thing. This is something the enemy fights so bad. He fights it and fights it and fights it and fights it. But have you ever heard people come and they say, I've never felt love like here? This is something that draws people to Christ like hard. I don't know if there's anything else that draws people to the Lord more than love. People know there's something genuine whenever you're willing to love them. People know there's something there. You can believe all kinds of things and you can have all kinds of knowledge and understanding. But that doesn't draw people to the Lord like love does. Love has got a quality of being lower. Well, the scripture says esteeming each other better than himself, something like that. That's a quality of love. We didn't read in 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm not planning to, but love goes and puts myself below each one of you. And when I do that, and when I start to say, I can't afford to have strife, I can't afford for this relationship to be broken, I believe the Lord will work in our life. And I believe He'll really bless us. I appreciate your time and attention today. Lord bless His Word. I don't... If I didn't do good justice to it, I pray that He will. Thank you so much for your attention. Amen.